would like to encourage each of you this morning, if you will, to get your Bibles and turn to the book of Ezekiel. I would like to read from Ezekiel chapter 37. Most of you, even the children, know about the Valley of Dry Bones. There's no song, them bones, dry bones. The Word of God says that they were very many bones and they were very dry bones. This is not a picture of the final resurrection or the resurrection of the body, the natural body from the grave. You'll look at this carefully. The Word of God here is describing how that the nation of Israel, God's people, had disobeyed God and they had been cut off from God and they had withered up or they had dried up spiritually. I want all of you to remember that this is not a picture of the new birth and regeneration. It's not a picture of the final resurrection, but rather it's a picture of God's people who had disobeyed God. They were cut off and they perished spiritually. They were cut off from fellowship with God, and their soul was like dried up bones. Have you ever felt that way inside, that your soul and your spirit, you just didn't feel God's presence? Well, that's what this whole passage is about, is a whole nation that had turned their backs on God, and as a result of turning their backs on God, they were cut off from fellowship with God, and instead of being fed with the Word of God, instead of rejoicing in the Word of God, instead of obeying the Word of God, they had turned their backs on God's Word, and they had perished. Again, I'm not talking about a physical death, I'm talking about a soul death. Look now at Ezekiel chapter 37. Before we begin to read and study God's Word, I would ask that you please join your hearts together with me in a moment of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for the privilege that we have of reading and studying Thy Holy Word. We're thankful that Thou taught us in Thy Word some of the purposes of the Gospel, and we know that Your Word, as it goes out, that it often revives Your people. We're thankful that we have the Word of God, and we pray that Thy Word, that it would bring about a great revival in all of our lives this day, that we would be lifted up and that the bones would come together and that there would be flesh brought upon the bones and that You would breathe into us the breath of life, that we would be able to experience a great spiritual revival in our lives. We thank You, Lord, for this passage of Scripture, and we pray that You would bless it to our hearts and minds and souls. Help us to hear and understand and believe and obey Thy Holy Word. We thank You again for every person that's here today. Thank You for each family that's represented. We beg Thy blessings upon each one that's here. We know that each person here stands in special need of Thy help, different ones in different ways. We just ask You, Lord, to bless each one as Thou alone art able to do. Pray that You would bless those that are sick and afflicted, that You would strengthen them and lift them up and restore them to their health. You would bless those that are sick in their soul. You would revive them and lift them up. I beg You, Lord, to bless those who have lost loved ones, comfort their hearts. Be with all of Thy people the world over. Bless every congregation, wherever they are assembled together in this hour. We pray that You would bless every minister to preach the Word of God and bless the people to hear the Word and rejoice in it. Again, we pray that You would cause a great revival in our land as You caused this great revival in the nation of Israel, as we're reading in the book of Ezekiel. Now bless us and keep us close to Thee and close to each other. Help us to walk in a way that would honor and glorify Thee in our lives. Help us to walk as children of light to Thy name's honor and glory. Bless those who are traveling. Watch over and protect each of them. Give them a safe trip. Help us now to hear the word of the Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. I'd like to begin by reading from Ezekiel chapter 37. Ezekiel chapter 37. We'd like to read the first 12 verses. Ezekiel chapter 37, the first 12 verses. And I encourage you to follow in the Bible as I read. Ezekiel chapter 37, the first 12 verses. The Word of God says, "The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of dry bones." You've heard of Death Valley. Well, that's what this is. It's a valley of death. Valley that was full of dead men's bones. Verse 2 says, "And caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. Verse 3 says, And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? What would your answer be?
No.
You got that graveyard out there. Let's see, anybody here, can those bones live? Many bones that are out there, but can they live? Can you do anything to bring those bones to life? Talking literally dead men's bones. We're talking here spiritually, but listen, brethren, it doesn't matter whether you're talking about a literal or a soul death. You do not, and I do not have the power to bring life to those that are dead. Now the question is asked of Ezekiel, can these bones live? Well, Ezekiel couldn't cause them to have life, but he knew who could. And so it is that when he was asked, can these bones live? I answered, that is, Ezekiel answered, O Lord God, thou knowest, could God make the bones live? Brethren, I'm thankful to know that it doesn't matter whether we talk about a literal death, a spiritual death, or a soul death, God can bring the dead to life. One day, when this world is over, He's going to bring all the saints of God. They're going to be raised from the dust of the earth. They're going to be conformed to the image of the Son of God, be made absolutely perfect, and carried home to be with the Lord forever. And that's the final resurrection. And the Word of God also tells us about people that died, literally died, and they were in the grave. You remember that Jesus went to Lazarus and said, Lazarus, what? Come forth. And he came up out of the grave. Can God bring those that are dead, can He bring them to life? Can man bring those that are dead to life? No. Even when the apostles touched people and they were raised from the dead, it was not the power of those men, wasn't the power of the apostles, it was the power of God that brought them from death unto life. You might look at our nation and you might say, is there any way that there can be a great spiritual revival? You might say, can America live again? Well, I'll tell you, brethren, I can't do anything, and you can't do anything by ourselves, but I do believe with all that God's Word teaches that America can live again. But the only way that there's ever going to be major life, major spiritual life in America is if the Word of God is believed and obeyed, and God brings about a great revival to restore life. To restore, let me mention again. Let me ask you to just think for a minute. You have a valley full of dead men's bones. Had there already been life there? Was there one time life there? So we're not talking about bringing life to someone who's never had life. We're talking about those who had life, but they had perished, and now they needed to be alive again. We're talking about restoring a people to a position that they had once been in. So that's what this whole picture is about. Verse 4 he says, after he says, O Lord, thou knowest, Ezekiel 37 verse 4 says, And he said unto me, Prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Can dry bones hear the word of the Lord? Well, if you're talking about literally, then dry bones can't hear the word of the Lord. And yet, God told Ezekiel, prophesy on these dry bones and say to those dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. And as we come down, you'll see he's talking about preaching the word to God's children, and that the desire and intent and purpose, one of the purposes of preaching the word of God to God's people who have become dried up. One of the purposes is to revive them and bring them back to great spiritual fellowship with God. He says, Prophesy upon these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Verse 5. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. You talk about the breath. Now, what do you think the breath represents here? Yes, the Holy Spirit. You go home and you read in the book of Acts, you'll find that God would breathe on them and His Holy Spirit would be poured out on them. That's what happened on the day of Pentecost, isn't it? You remember when Peter was there preaching to those people. And brethren, as he preached to those people on the day of Pentecost, Was he preaching to people that were really spiritual, or was he preaching to a people that was nothing but a valley of dry bones? When Peter was preaching on the day of Pentecost, he was preaching to a valley of dry bones. And he said to those people that he was preaching to, he says, that same Jesus that you crucified, was he rebuking them and condemning them for what they had done? Indeed, he was. Was he prophesying upon them? Yes, he was. He says, that same Jesus whom you crucified, God hath made him both Lord and Christ. Do you remember the response of those people when they heard that? What did they begin to do? They began to fear and tremble. They began to shake when they heard the word of God. And what did Peter tell them to do? After they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? Were they afraid? Were they afraid, brethren, those people in Acts 2, about verse 36, I believe, they were very much afraid. And so it is that Ezekiel now is prophesying to these people, and he says, the breath of God is going to come upon you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. Listen, brethren, any time God's people have ever been raised from a withered and perished condition, any time God's people are restored to fellowship with God, they know that God is Lord. Verse 7, he says, so I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. I want to just pause here in verse 7. As we go through, we're going, and I encourage you to go home and read Acts 2 and the book of Nehemiah, especially the second chapter and the book of Jonah. There are many pictures in the Word of God that describe literally what this vision of Ezekiel is all about. It talks about how the people of God hear the Word of God, and they begin to shake and they begin to tremble and they fear God. And then God begins to work in their lives and they begin to be revived. He says, so I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking. I want you to picture that shaking as what God's people do when they hear the Word of God. There was a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. Does the Word of God describe the church of Jesus Christ as a body? Does the Word of God describe the church of Jesus Christ as a body? Are there times that churches are dead? And as far as any ability to ever revive them, you would have to conclude there is no hope for that church. On the other hand, I would declare unto you by the authority of God's Word that if God's people begin to hear the Word of God and believe and obey the Word of God, there can be a valley of dry bones that turns from a valley of scattered dry bones. It can turn into a standing army. The people of God, when they hear, believe, and obey the Word of God, and God's Spirit and God's power comes upon them, what begins to happen to a church or a nation or a family, anywhere that the Word of God is preached and they respond in obedience, what happens? There's a great revival that takes place when the people believe God and obey God. That's what this whole passage is about. And notice it says, bone to his bone. Is there a particular place for you in the house of God? Is there a particular... I'm not talking about a pew. I had somebody say, how dare somebody get my pew? That's not what I mean when I say bone to his bone. There is a function and a purpose for every one of you in this house. There's a work for you to do. You have a purpose, and you have a place in God's house, in God's body. The church is the body of Christ. And you want you to notice it says here, bone to his bone. Was there a connection? What does that song say when it talks about this same passage of Scripture? Them bones and bones. The next verse of that song says something about the foot bones connected to the what? Ankle bone. The ankle bone connected to the leg bone. All of that. That whole song is an old spiritual song about this Ezekiel chapter 37 that's talking about bone to his bone. One place upon another. The great reviving that begins to take place is when every child of God begins to assume his place. Do you have a place in the house of God today? Bone to his bone. I'm not talking about a place for you to sit. I'm talking about a place in the body of Christ, a function that you have in the body of Christ. We need to pray that God will help us, that we would see a coming together of these bones. On the day of Pentecost, was there a shaking? Were the people afraid? They said, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said, repent What was he telling them to do? He was telling that valley of dry bones to turn from their evil way. He said, repent and be baptized. Is there a purpose and a function of water baptism? Indeed there is. And he says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the gift, the Spirit of God, will come upon you. I'll tell you, brethren, they began to shake, they began to tremble, and they began to repent, and they were baptized. And the Word of God says, and there were 3,000 souls added to the church that day. You know what I picture there? I picture a valley of dry bones, and Peter preached the Word, and there was a shaking, and there was a coming together, bone upon his bone. And the whole church began to be established and revived there in Acts chapter 2. Now listen in verse 8. After it talks about bone to his bone, each one coming together. Let me mention something else about coming together. You turn to Acts chapter 2, and when you get home and you read and study about that whole preaching, do you think there's any connection there? Coming together. Coming together. You know what's emphasized in Acts chapter 2 after the Word of God was preached and the people began to hear, believe, and obey and were baptized? You know what the Word of God emphasizes there? It emphasizes more than anything else that there was unity in the body of Christ. That they came together. The Bible says there in Acts chapter 2, they were of one mind and one accord, and they were worshiping together daily. And the Word of God says they had all things common. Do you picture the body work there? Does your body all work together? Isn't it amazing how the body works together? Isn't that amazing? It is amazing how the body works. Only God can make a human body. Isn't it amazing how your circulatory system, your heart, is my heart, is it sending blood to my hand right now? Is my brain, the nerves, is it sending messages to my hand right now? Every part of your body, I think that when I was in school there were 7 systems. I don't know whether they've added or taken away, but you had 7 systems in your body. You had the circulatory system, you had the nervous system, you had the respiratory system, you had all these different systems, and it's amazing to me how this body works. David says, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And you might say, well, you've gotten off track. No, I haven't. I'm saying that there is a clear illustration here between the body of Christ and our natural bodies. And the Word of God makes it plain and clear that the body, the spiritual body, the church of Jesus Christ, and our nation, we need a revival. The church needs a revival. And the only thing that, what is one of the purposes of the gospel? One of the purposes of the gospel is to revive God's people. On the day of Pentecost when Peter preached, there was a great revival there, and bone came together, bone upon his bone. They came together. Likewise, in the church of Jesus Christ, when we obey what God's Word says, you'll find bone upon bone. You'll find the body working together. Isn't leukemia where the white corpuscles attack the red corpuscles? Is that leukemia? Anybody know? Okay, thank you. One nurse. Now that's when your body starts fighting against itself. Will leukemia kill you? Yes, it will kill you. You know what happens in the church when one part of the body begins to attack the other part of the body? You know what happens in the church when you have cliques and divisions and schisms in the body? That body will perish. Can a church perish? People say, Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. While it is true that as long as the church follows the teachings of God's Word, that church cannot and will not die. But brethren, when we turn our back on God and God's Word and God's ways, the church, any local church, can die. You read Revelation chapters 2 and 3, and you'll read there about the 7 churches in Asia. And it was some of those churches that the Word of God says, thou hast a name that thou livest and art what? Dead. The church was dead in Revelation chapter 3. That church was dead. Now, could that church live again? I'm going to ask you that question. Could that church live again? Well, it's the same thing that if God were to ask you, can that church live again? You'd have to say like Ezekiel did, Lord, thou knowest. Will it live again? Lord, thou knowest. Can it live again? I can declare to you upon the authority of God's holy word, God can revive that man can't revive. God can lift up. God can restore where we don't see any life at all. We may see nothing. Have you ever looked at somebody's life and seen nothing but a bag of bones? Listen, Jesus looked at people in Matthew chapter 23. Here's what Jesus said about some people. He said, "Outwardly ye appear unto men to look beautiful, but inwardly you are full of what? Full of dead men's bones." Well, what do you have there? Well, you have a body full of dead men's bones. You can have a valley full of dead men's bones where a lot of God's people have perished. Or you can have a body that though outwardly it appears to be religious, it's nothing but a whited sepulcher. Can that is nothing but a whited sepulcher, can one that is full of dead men's bones, can he live again? Yes, he can, but it'll take the power of God to bring about a revival. Did you know that me and all the preachers in this world, we cannot revive the United States of America. We can't revive the church, but God can bring a revival. And if there's anything we need today, it's for God's people to be revived. I believe that if we have the eyes of God, I believe as we look across America, we would see a valley full of dead men's bones. Can they live again? We see a denomination, many denominations, they're full of what? Dead men's bones. Can they live again? Yes. When I say live again, talking about being restored to a position that they had once lived in, and maybe even a greater position. And so it is that America, though we at one time were a nation that feared God and served God and were blessed by God, did you know that if God were to bring about a revival in America and the churches were to begin to have the Spirit of God breathed upon them, that there would be a revival like we've never seen or comprehended? And we need that in America today. And listen, brethren, and you need to be praying and I need to be praying that God will send a revival. Verse 8, this is Ezekiel 37, verse 8, "When I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them." Can you go through all the actions of having a revival? In other words, part of the responsibility of God's people is to come together in God's house. Is that right? The Bible says we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together in God's house. So all the bones may come together, and there may be flesh on those bones, and there may be sinews upon the bones, but there's something else that's necessary before there's a revival. Before there is life, the bones and the... Listen, when you die, the very moment you die, listen carefully, the very moment you die, do you still have the skin? Yes, you still have the skin. You still have the very moment you die. I'm not talking about 6 months down the road. The very moment you die, do you still have the skin? Do you still have the flesh? Do you still have the muscles? Do you still have the sinews? Do you still have the ligaments? Do you still have the tendons? Do you still have the heart? Do you still have the brain? It's all there, but there's something that's missing. You know what's missing? The breath. Brethren, when God created Adam there in the Garden of Eden, He formed man from the dust of the ground. And then the Word of God tells, let me ask you, was the man alive after God had formed him from the dust of the ground? Was he alive yet? He was not alive until God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And then Adam became a living soul. And that's the only thing that will make a difference in the church of Jesus Christ today. We can do all the other things that are necessary. We can come to the house of God. We can read the Word of God. We can do everything we want to do. We can say prayers out loud. But there's one thing that's more important than everything else, and that's for God's Spirit to breathe on us. And when the Spirit of God breathes on us, we'll become alive, filled with the Spirit of God. Amen. We need to pray, "God, send your breath. Breathe on me." That's one of the songs that we sing sometimes in our songbook, "Breathe on me. Holy Spirit, breathe on me." You know what will happen? You know what will happen when God breathes on you? Listen, brethren, you won't recognize yourself, neither will anybody else recognize you, when the Spirit of God breathes on you. Breathe on me. Holy Spirit, breathe on me. Do you feel like you are full of dead men's bones this morning? You feel like maybe you're not perished completely, but you're perishing, that you're drying up spiritually. Listen, brethren, you need to pray fervently, God, breathe on me. You need to acknowledge and understand that all the works you do, they're not going to bring you breath. It's not the works that we do that bring about the breath. It's the power of God that breathes into us. And does that mean you don't need to do the works? No, it means you need to do the works, but you need to acknowledge all the works you do aren't going to cause the breath to be in you. They aren't going to cause the Spirit of God to be in you. Verse 9, then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind. Now, who is he first told to prophesy unto? The bones. That's back in verse 4. He said, prophesy upon these bones. Now, in verse 9, he said, then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, and prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. Had they already been alive? Have you ever felt the power of God? Have you ever felt the Spirit of God? And then lose the presence of the Spirit of God? One of the songwriters says this. He says, oh, for a closer walk with God, calm and heavenly frame. And one of the verses in that song says, where is the blessedness I knew when first I saw the Lord? You remember that song? Where is the blessedness I knew when first I saw the Lord? I'll tell you, that songwriter had experienced something of a soul death. He had been close to God. He had experienced the sweet beauty of seeing Christ and being close to God. But he had lost that, and he says, return, O holy dove, return. You know what that dove represents? Represents the Holy Spirit of God. Return, O Holy Dove. Breathe on me. All these writers of these songs, they had a great understanding of what Ezekiel was writing about here and a great understanding of the needs of the people of God to be breathed on by God. Verse 10 says, so I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Now what happened? How were they described in the first part of this chapter? It was a valley full of very many, very dry bones. And now how are they described? An exceeding great army. Jesus has called us to be soldiers of Jesus Christ. When you have one soldier, that's one thing. But when all the soldiers are working and laboring together, you have an exceeding great army. We don't need one soldier here and one soldier there. We need an exceeding great army. Listen, brethren, I've seen in my lifetime, I've seen when wherever you went to worship God, I've seen men that could preach the Word of God. I do not ever recall going to the house of God that I didn't see the power and Spirit of God demonstrated. But in recent years, it seems to me that wherever we go, we find a great lukewarmness and indifference and coldness in the houses of God. There is a valley full of dry bones, and we need to pray, God, send a revival. Amen. Send your Holy Spirit. Bless your men to preach the Word and to preach in power and demonstration of the Spirit of God. Bless your people to hear the Word, believe the Word, and obey the Word, so that instead of being a valley of dry bones, we can become an exceeding great army. Oh, you're going to be a proud soldier? You know what happens to every proud soldier? You know what happens to every proud soldier? Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before fall. I've watched proud soldiers fall, one after another. You and I get caught up in vain pride, we'll fall. The exceeding great armies have fallen. But this was an exceeding great army. They went from scattered bones to a standing army. Look at verse 11. Verse 11 says, then he said unto me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Now, does he literally describe what this is all about? He's going to describe it. You might say, well, I'm not sure that's what it's all talking about. God explains it. He says, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Who was Israel? That was God's chosen people. It was a nation that God chose to bless and give His commandments to and to bless them spiritually as well as materially. He says, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say. And here's what Israel will say. Listen. Listen to what Israel say. Our bones are dried and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. You hear what Israel was saying there? Did Israel, at this point in time, did Israel recognize her condition? He says, we're like dried men's bones. He says, our bones are dried and our hope is lost and we are cut off. You remember, listen carefully. In John chapter 15, do you remember Jesus says, I am the what? In John 15, I am the vine, ye are the what? Branches. What happens to those branches who are in Christ? That's what He says there. You go back and study it carefully in John 15. Every branch in me that bringeth not forth fruit, what does He do? He cuts it off. What happens to the people of God who are in Christ, but they don't bring forth fruit? What happens to a nation when it stops bringing forth fruit? It's cut off and it withers and dies. And that was what happened to Israel here. They had turned their backs on God. And He says, we are cut off. You follow that wording there? We're cut off. Have you ever felt like you were cut off? How many of you have ever, don't raise your hand, just think. How many of you have ever felt like you've been cut off from God? Listen, when you tried to pray and the prayer wouldn't go any higher than the room you were in. When you tried to communicate, you've been to God's house and you just couldn't worship. You ever tried to read God's Word and you just couldn't? Nothing was alive. Nothing was real. The Spirit of God was not there. Listen, brethren, we need to fall on our knees and cry unto God like Israel did right here. Israel was crying unto God and saying, our bones are dried. Our hope is lost. We're withered and cut off. You see, they're crying to God. Now, what's God going to do when they acknowledge their condition? He's going to come and breathe on them. Verse 12 says, therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves. Is He talking about a literal resurrection from a mortal body from a grave? No, He's not. You go home and read. You read Psalm 30, verse 2 and 3. And you read Psalm 40. What is it, Brother Neil? 40, verses 1 and 2. Quote it for me. Psalm 40, verses 1 and 2. Thou hast brought up my soul out of the miry clay. Out of a horrible pit. That's one of the verses that Brother Neil knows by heart. Thou hast brought up my soul out of the miry clay, out of a horrible pit. I'll tell you, David wasn't talking about being born again there. He was talking about life being restored to him. God lifted him up. He lifted me. Has He ever lifted you up? You ever been away from God and God brought about a revival? Have you ever had a revival? It's a wonderful experience. O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and will bring you into the land of Israel. But brethren, the land of Israel is a beautiful foreshadowing. In the Old Testament, it's a land that flows with milk and honey. In the Old Testament, it's the kingdom of heaven which God has prepared for His obedient children while they live here in this earth. I pray that God will help us this morning to realize we need a revival. Amen. And I hope that God will help us to realize that we need to cry to the Lord like the house of Israel did. Oh God, help us. God, have mercy on us. You know why we need to pray for mercy? Because we don't deserve a revival. We don't deserve to be restored to the fellowship. We don't deserve to experience that sweet, blessed hope that we once had. May God help us to realize how much we need the grace of God and we need the power of God. And we need reviving is my prayer for Christ's sake.